everyone, welcome to More Than Mises, guys. I'm here with Boo with the AxelmanUnderground.com, and we are getting into issue number 37, which I mean the whole story arc is called Brainstorm, like the American comic would be that. This one is In Search of Buster and the Creation Matrix.
Yeah, we've got quite a cover here.
It's a really good cover. I like it.
Well, we have that oversized Shockwave head that we'll see quite a bit. He's kind of got his Action Master proportions.
But
But
Boo's
also,
freaking
the
oh, you look
centerpiece
lit.
of this cover is a young Evan Johns.
It kind of is me,
As
yeah.
soon as I saw that, I'm like, hey.
That's legitimately me in my younger days, back before I was given the Creation Matrix and ruined my life.
Dude, you even had that hairstyle.
Yep, I did.
Do you
Back
have any pictures of that?
before, back before I got just run through the gauntlet with being chased by Decepticons, being lied to by Autobots. It was a simpler time. And now this is the result.
I swear I've seen pictures of you with that same haircut.
Yo, legitimately, I had the same haircut.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And
We need a
I used
side-by-side comparison.
I'll see if I find you one. But
Oh, man.
it's he is kind of a Ken doll, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
But the really nice art on Bumblebee and Bluestreak on this cover.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Great.
this cover was done by John Ridgway. So,
Oh, there you go. Yeah, John Ridgway. See in the bottom. No wonder it's so flipping good.
yeah.
John Ridgway was so good with the shading and the pencils. I mean, aside from oversized head Shockwave, it's great. Even like the Optimus Prime in the bottom right, he looks like he's like being tortured instead of just hooked up like onto like a machine or whatever. He looks like he's like being subjected to constant torture with the way it's set up looking.
Right, it's very Cenobite-ish.
It is. It very much
Yeah.
is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he opened the Lament configuration
Yeah, he did.
and they showed up.
They were looking for taking his soul back to hell, and obviously he's a machine, he doesn't have a soul.
Shockwave
So
would probably be a
they
good Cenobite.
yeah, they're like, well, we'll let you do this. And they asked for the Creation Matrix. Of course, he didn't have it, so they're doubly mad about that.
Right.
The whole like Walkman that is a the weird like a point of interest in the story. I think it's just showing. Okay, I'm not gonna get into the weeds before we get into the issue here, but
Well,
yeah,
that Walkman got equal billing with Optimus Prime and Shockwave, so
it
I mean.
really did. That's what I was gonna kind of go into that, but
Oh, okay. Yeah, I
I
was
didn't
gonna
know if
say
like.
that's the real star of the show right there.
Yep.
Walkman.
Just think, you could have had a frenzy head, or as the comic goes, a rumble head.
Oh yeah, or well, you mean enemy,
Oh,
right?
that's right. That's enemy.
Yeah.
That's right. But no, you had to have an off-brand Walkman. Come on, John. Come on. So I don't know who actually was the artist in this issue, which would be. Oh, where is he at? There he is. Pencils. Herb Trimpe.
Oh yeah, Trimpy. Yeah, and I've got some on him, but.
Oh, yes, by all
Before
means.
we get there, we should deal with this situation in transformation.
You mean the thing you can't read?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's actually, I think it's a secret code. You're supposed to hear it because it's written by Soundwave.
Read my Soundwave and in this horrible, horrible yellow font.
Yeah. Well, see, to Decepticon eyes, it's clear as can be. He
Oh,
can't help
obviously.
that our eyes are deficient. Pitiful carbon-based units.
Yes.
You
Greetings.
only see the visible light spectrum. Ugh.
I know, right? Greetings, carbon-based units. Yes, your optical sensors are not deceiving you. It is I, Soundwave. The humans who act as dicto drones on this publication have taken the day off to carry out a function they describe as Christmas shopping. A function I might add that I failed to understand in the least. However, I considered it prudent to take the opportunity presented by their absence to demonstrate just how a transformation page should be put together. All that needs to be said about this issue is that there is not nearly enough of me in it, too much of the Autobots in it, and 6 pages of this ridiculously named Machine Man thing. See? Nothing to it. I mean, he's got it.
I almost wonder if they didn't do it in the yellow font on purpose because it says, yes, your optical sensors are not deceiving you.
Yeah.
And UK Soundwave editor is just the type
Just the
to
type to be
post
a
something
jerk.
that you can't see.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. What
So
there's
yeah, this issue has been edited by Soundwave because everyone else is
Christmas shopping.
busy, yeah, Christmas shopping.
Perfect. No notes there.
Yeah. And then we have Robo Capers down below.
Which yeah, actually is kind of funny, you know. You have there's a what are they called? The
The
Z's
Zeponians.
Zeponians, thank you.
Yeah.
I call them Zertonians, but that's a different comic. Yeah, the Zeponian guy without a shirt on, he's pulling a whole I don't know, Jean-Claude Van Damme thing with the pants and no shirt, kicking
Man.
the machine.
Yeah. This is the first episode of the live action tip tick. A little.
Yeah, kinda is.
Yeah, he's fighting the coffee machine.
Yeah, he's like coffee machine's on the blink again. There's this little like white silver robot. He's like, "Oi, that's not the way. Allow me." And guys, and then I guess the green tick, Zeponian's like, "Yeah." The robot says something like "zip vig skrd da," and it shoots him out a cup of coffee. You need to learn to speak their language.
I like to imagine that that's the weird, like, Michael Bay Transformer speak.
I can see it. Oh,
That
yeah.
modem sound they make.
Oh,
But yeah, I
don't even
totally see the
start it.
Van Damme, you know, in that Zeponian.
Oh, there's a lot of Van Damme. Arrogant, dumb,
Well,
and violent.
the shirtless with the pants. I mean, I see a lot of Johnny Cage, who's, you know,
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
based on
Oh,
Van Damme,
yes.
so.
Yep. All of
Yeah,
that.
all of it. Yeah.
There's this things like Soundwave's Best Buy. And it's according to the scribblings left behind by the fleshlings, this year's Transformers annual would make what they term an ideal Christmas present. What is this Christmas thing? However, if what they mean is that this year's Transformers annual is something that no Transformers reader should be without and should be obtained as soon as possible, then, much as it pains me, I feel I must agree with them. Within this colorful volume, you'll be able to scan the likes of Plague of Insect of the Insecticons, which introduces as much requested characters, a blatant piece of Autobot propaganda called "And There Shall Come a Leader," and two gripping text stories, and then other stuff.
Right.
No, this is kind of cool. They have a little picture of the annual down below. But yeah, since this is you're coming up on, Christmas of the, with the first annual and. It's just they're trying to, put it all in there together.
It's funny that, you know, they're really pushing it here, and I get it for Christmas, but
Oh yeah.
previously we've seen people writing in that they already had it,
Yeah, but I mean,
which is why we
honestly,
covered it a little earlier.
you see a lot of people who in the letters pages who are just starting to discover Transformers. So I could see that being the whole thing where if you're just discovering it now and you should check out this annual and or if you haven't picked it up yet, I don't know, whatever. Maybe the
Right.
annual. I mean, the annual is like what? £4.99 or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's not expensive at all, but maybe it's like not. It's above the spending limit of most young British kids' allowance. Let's see. So maybe it's a good little Christmas present.
Yeah, you got to save up for it. It's a nice hardback. I mean,
Oh
I
yeah.
still have mine over here, and it's great.
You just like twist the knife, don't you?
Oh yeah,
I know.
it's
I know.
one of those Klingon knives that have like a little pop outside. So
A little Chris Dagger looking thing.
yeah.
So we get into Brainstorm and honestly the cover the art in this is really good, the pencil art, line art.
Well, there's a good reason for that, because
Please.
her, yeah. Herb Trimpe did the artwork, and he also did the interior pencils for three issues of Transformers, as well as four issues of Marvel's G.I. Joe and the Transformers, which of
Oh,
course is
okay.
excluded from the UK run. And then I want to say he did around like, was it, he did almost a quarter of the covers for the US Transformers.
Okay.
Okay. But his work is best known on the Hulk.
Yep.
Yeah, he drew the Hulk comics for 7 years straight.
Wow.
Yeah, from 1968 to 1975, only missing three issues in that run.
Oh wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So he worked from issue 102 to 142, then he picked up 145 to 193.
Okay.
So he co-created Doc Samson, but
Oh, nice.
in that long run was also Hulk 180 and 181.
Which is the introduction of. Oh my God.
Wolverine. That's Wolverine's introduction.
Wolverine, yes. I
Yeah.
could picture him. I'm like looking at it, like I can see you see the issue. I know which one it is. I just like, why am I not like, yes, Wolverine.
Yeah, so
Classic
he
costume. He had
drew,
whiskers and all that.
yeah, he drew the first published images of Wolverine. And he's quoting it's quoted as saying about Wolverine, says, "The way I see it, they," meaning John Romita and Len Wein, "sewed that monster together and I shocked it to life."
Nice.
Yeah.
It was the old the old original Wolverine that had the full like mask cover on his face and like yeah, it actually is weird. It had like whiskers off the side of it and stuff. It looked
Yeah.
very, I don't know, very
More animal
feral.
like than,
Yeah.
yeah.
That's right. I can picture that cover. And I was looking in my head like I know this cover. Why can't I name the guy? And probably because of the movie that came out last year, Wolverine and Deadpool. I kept thinking Deadpool, and I'm like, no, I know it's not right. I know it's not right. Why can't I think of
Yeah.
the guy? Yeah, Wolverine.
And Len Wein also is tied into Transformers because he wrote Webworld with Diane Duane,
Oh,
as
such a good
well
issue.
as Tangled Web for Beast Wars and Savage Noble for Beast Machines.
Okay, that's
But
right.
getting back to Herb Trimpe, okay, he also worked on Marvel's Godzilla comic. He drew
Yeah.
19 of the 20 issues of the Shogun Warriors comic. He
Oh,
drew
nice.
G.I. Joe number one and drew and co-wrote several other G.I. Joe issues. He also drew almost all of the G.I. Joe Order of Battle comics.
Okay, I don't know those.
Yeah,
What
it was
are
like a little spin-off series they did.
Okay. Yeah.
But that his life was very much entwined with Marvel UK publications, though, because he stayed in Cornwall for a while and helped Chris Claremont create Captain Britain.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and Captain Britain Weekly was the first original comic created for Marvel UK.
Tell you some other things. I knew there's some other things with Len Wein also.
Oh,
He.
no, this is Herb Trimpe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Herb Trimpe. Okay, you already went past. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we're back to Trimpe. I just did that
Nice.
aside on wine. But if you want to go ahead and tell the Len Wein stuff, you can.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's like Len Wein actually was involved, and this is how they're all intermingled with all the different comics. I mean, Len Wein, co-creating Swamp Thing,
Oh yeah.
the court, in Marvel Comics, the comic of Wolverine, not the introduction, obviously, but the comic, the original like run of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he helped revive the X-Men as a superhero team. He was including the co-creation of Nightcrawler, Storm, and Colossus. So
Yeah,
think
again with
about,
Chris Claremont.
yeah, exactly, with Chris
Yeah.
Claremont. Yeah, he was the editor for Alan Moore with in with in, with for Watchmen.
Yeah.
So I mean, the Len Wein is a lot has a lot going on besides just a few little G.I. Joe things and Transformers things. Yeah, he was very, very influential. As I, every time I see that name, like, is he in everything?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. He's one of those guys. Sorry, I know
Yeah.
this is about Herb Trimpe, and I was just like, man, I had to go into the Len Wein a little bit.
Well, it's hard not to run off onto sides because there are so many that it's like the weave. You think you're going off topic, but really it's tied right into this. It's like a
Oh, yeah.
braid, you know?
Yeah, I
So,
know. You love your weave.
yes.
So the
So, oh, go ahead.
sorry, no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, Captain Britain Weekly was the first original comic created for Marvel UK. So the whole thing that led to the Marvel UK comics being having original issues started with Trimpe and Claremont.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay.
And then also Trimpe did the breakdowns for the Machine Man backup story in this very issue. Like the volume two stories where he's in the
Yep.
future. That's Trimpe working with Barry Windsor Smith.
Okay, and
Okay.
honestly, those are nicely drawn issues, though.
Oh yeah, they're great, great artwork.
Yeah.
And then Barry Windsor Smith was a UK artist who, along with Steve Parkhouse, who was the writer of Man of Iron,
Yeah.
wrote to Trimpy's then wife, Linda Fite, who worked at Marvel offices, and they camped out near the Marvel offices in New York, seeking work on that side of the pond.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like I said, Marvel UK and Herb Trimpy have a very, I guess, intertwined story. Okay, and then on top of all this, he was also an ordained Episcopal deacon.
Of course he was.
Yes, and he received the Bob Clampett Humanitarian Award for work he did at Ground Zero after the September 11th attacks as a
Oh,
chaplain there on
okay.
site.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so
Right
I
on.
mean, these Marvel guys, they don't make them like this anymore. These
They
guys,
don't.
they
And you
were real
think,
Renaissance men.
yeah, you think about like who Simon Furman was like associated with over all the years, also with 2080 guys and the
Yeah.
Marvel UK guys, and that was like a dream team back then.
Oh yeah. And Trimpy was a salaried artist at
Oh, okay.
Marvel. He wasn't like the
Was a
regular
freelancer.
freelance guys, yeah. But he had a quota that he had to draw for his salary, and if he went over his quota, then he would be paid for the extra stuff as a freelancer.
So he was a made man over there in Marvel
Oh yeah,
UK.
he said he liked it and he did it all from home. He says it was like having an office job, like a regular job that you did from home.
Nice.
Yeah. So he passed away in 2015.
No, that's too bad. Well, I mean,
But I
obviously
mean,
he
he
had
was
a
75. He
yeah,
had a very
full life.
long, full life. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's cool, you know.
I mean, yeah, some of the best artwork you'll see, you know, and like the covers and stuff you'll see Trimpy did.
Nice. And really, I mean, the first page is this is full page of a Buster sitting a late or sorry, laying on his bed, reading advanced physics and you know, going through trying to study these books with the I guess it was the Kirby circles and stuff coming off his head.
Yeah,
Very
he
much
yeah
like that.
he's got the sparklies,
Yeah, he does. And
the all
really,
sparklies.
yeah, definitely not me because I was not reading advanced physics in high school. I was happy to get through physics as it was. So yeah, even they have the there's so much detail in this page right here. I mean, he's got
Oh,
his computer
totally.
background. He's got a fish tank. I want to know what kind of fish he has because I think it'll tell us a lot about the person he is. That Walkman is right up dead center. Well, not dead center, but right up in the camera, as it were. He's got 70 cents floating around the air.
I think that's
Calculator.
supposed to be a Rubik's Cube over by the fish tank.
Oh, okay. I can see just not enough lines drawn into it,
Yeah,
but
not enough
I
lines.
can see that.
You know, he used the Matrix to finish it.
Yeah, he did.
Cheater.
Yeah. Oh, there's some more change down below, but down below the keys. They've even got, you know, like, a lot of times you'll have keychains that have like a little, I don't know, like a little leather piece with like a little metal part on it. It usually has like a car emblem or something on it.
Yeah.
And the back of it's all cracked because it's leather and it's old.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that's your driver's key because the square and of course the
That's a
direction on it.
GM key, isn't
That is
it?
definitely a GM key. Yeah, because
Yeah.
my key, my first one I had, my Cavalier had that kind of key.
Yeah.
My Ford Ranger did not have that kind of key. So yep, definitely. See, key to computers, calculus. This is a nerd. What a nerd. So
You
he's
know, they totally pulled from this when they did the scene in, what was it, Revenge of the Fallen, where
Oh
Sam is
yeah.
freaking out in physics class.
Oh yeah. And you know, he's
Or the
actually
astronomy or whatever.
Oh yeah. Well, I think it was physics. Or maybe
Yeah.
it was astronomy. I don't know. It was a science-based class, that much
It
was.
was Rainn Wilson. That's all that mattered. Rainn
Yes.
Wilson was there. I
Harry Mudd
was
himself.
gonna say, yeah, he had his Harry Mudd beard
Harcourt
on that one.
Fenton Mudd. I just got to introduce my wife to Harry Mudd. She's a big Star Trek fan, but she doesn't really remember a lot of the original series stuff. I'm like, this guy was the voice of Cyclonus.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's Cyclonus and
Was it Motor Master?
Bruticus.
No, he was a Motor Master too, or
Yeah, I believe it was Motor Master
I
as
think it was,
well.
yeah, at least one of the Motor Masters. I know that.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean it's kind of fun introducing her all that. The yeah, just the way he talks. I was like, I love that. And then you listen to Motor Master talk. Oh, I'm just prime. I'm gonna take you down. It's so great. And then you hear Cyclonus trying to deal with Galvatron.
I
You
always
were
hear him
strong.
doing his televangelist voice. You fellow Decepticons,
You
you,
have
till
done
it
it
hurts.
hurts.
We
Love
haven't
that.
got there yet with the
Oh
music.
no, Ed, when you're ready to do this, man, I want to get through season two so we can do the movie and then in season three because there's so much gold there.
Oh yeah, that's just fun stuff.
It really is. So yeah, he's read this advanced physics book from cover to cover twice, yet he feels as dumb as when he first started. Because he doesn't he's trying to figure he's trying to science out how he's making all these things levitate. And he can't figure it out. It's not in this physics book. He's at a loss, honestly.
He's just trying to sort it out, and he doesn't even know how he's doing this, like how it works. Like he doesn't the machines he's repairing, he has no clue how to fix them.
He just has a instinctive thing. He wants to get it done, and they start repairing themselves. And that, yeah, that, like the, there's the next page, the first panel though. He has this kind of thing like he looks like he looks like a kid like who's in a like a I don't know like a Stephen King movie or something. Like he's just like, oh, it reminds me of the guy, the father from Firestarter. He's like has hands around his face. He's like giving this look.
Oh yeah, he needs the nosebleed.
Yeah, he's if he had a nosebleed, he'd be spot on. But he's trying to figure out how he's been able to levitate these things for weeks, and it's really he's able to rebuild engines with engines without a thought. And he starts kind of like, yeah, I don't have any clue why. And he starts like, what happened to me a few weeks ago? Well, it could have done this. Could it have been when Optimus Prime had me put those electrodes on my head and shocked me? No, it couldn't be that.
Yeah, it's funny. As smart as they make him out to be, he's not very intuitive about it.
No,
I never
he
can do
is.
this before, and then
I
the
took a
headache
shot in the
started.
head.
Yeah.
It's like when Fred Flintstone has a bowling ball fall on his head. I know he starts talking in a different language and different accent. Like I wonder
I was
why.
thinking like the Dead Zone, the
He
Christopher
kind of
Walken one.
is.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man.
Yep. Oh man. So yeah, he's like, well, it's weird. Like just like I got zapped to start being able to have this, and his leader of the Autobots. Optimus Prime must have had a reason for doing that to me, but I just wish I knew why. I, you know, yeah, exactly. For as smart of a kid he is, he's really dense. And
I guess
his,
that's the kid side of him.
yeah. Oh, and as his dad, and he's like Buster and Dad, and he drops everything, and all this stuff goes to the floor and starts and breaks. It kind of reminds me of when like you Luke is on Dagobah and. He's levitating stones and Yoda and R2-D2 and stuff. And as soon as he starts having the visions of Cloud City and Leia and Han and all that, he loses concentration, everything falls.
Oh yeah, when he's doing it, his handstand and
Yeah.
drops Yoda and everything.
Yep. He's like he's on one hand he's on one hand handstand and he's raising up like R2-D2 starts raising up and the stones and Yoda and all that. He's like, Leia, City of Clouds, huh? And it all falls apart, and Yoda's like, "Dude, come on, concentrate a little bit." Well, okay, he just like sighs really heavily, but we all know what he meant.
Right.
And
No, it shows that it needs his concentration to work.
And this is what yeah he's I think it's because Buster's thinking so hard, he's trying to suss out what's happened here. That's what's happening. He's thinking about what's going on, so everything's levitating, and but once his attention gets diverted, like you said, he stops thinking about what's going on, and everything falls apart.
Yeah, it kind of shows you the difference between him and Josie Beller.
Oh yeah.
Because she had like laser focus on what she wanted and created completely new technology out of nothing.
Well, yeah, and.
And he's been just like given this massive power that he could really cause the Decepticon some trouble if he wanted to.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
and well, he doesn't even nearly know he has it, though.
Right, but I mean by now he's figured out he can do some things, but it's like he's not focused on, what he could actually be using this on. He's just like doing, I guess, domestic stuff with it.
He's being a teenager is what he's being.
Yeah.
Josie, though, the difference with him and Josie is Josie has She has a like diamond straight perfect determination of what she wants to do, you know, destroy
Right.
all robots. He's like, well, Optimus Prime, he gave me this power and I don't know what's going on.
You know,
I
they're
can
actually
look.
not far apart in age either.
She's probably what, 5 years older than him, maybe?
If that, because she's,
Maybe.
I think she was like she got through high school and college like early.
Yeah, I can see
She's
that.
a prodigy, so
Yeah. And you know,
that's why he that could have been his Carly.
that would have been scary.
Said he had Jesse, who just shows up to goof off.
You know, hey, good on him. He should
Right?
be a kid. He
Oh,
should
I'm
be a
not
kid.
knocking Jesse.
Yeah. Buster, he's, you know, he's more worried than Jesse is. Jesse's like, let's go. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. But he's Sparkplug's calling up like, hey, we got a call, and we're about to show them why we're the best tow truckers in all the Pacific Northwest. And yeah, and Buster's in there thinking like, God, oh, this is fantastic. Ever since I repaired those cars, my dad thinks I want to do this now, and he feels kind of trapped with
He
the.
won't leave him alone about it.
Well, yeah, man. I'm like, oh, you're a prodigy. You want to do this all along. And Buster's like, yeah, Dad. That's it. So you kind of feel bad for him.
That's the
He's
true burden of the Matrix.
yes. And he's saying like, you know, he depends on Buster now, because a spark plug literally doesn't have to do a lot. He's like, oh, you know, I'll let you play with the engine for 5 minutes, I'll fix it. That's essentially what he's doing. But he's trying to, you know, explain, he's trying to find a way to explain this to his dad, and he just doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't have the heart to tell him. Which, yeah, I get
Well,
that.
and I'm kind of seeing like some shades of, you know, X-Men when they introduce a new character that's teenage and their powers are first manifesting.
Yeah.
Because he refers to himself as a metal manipulating freak.
Yep.
So, yeah, that definitely sounds
That
like a,
alliteration.
yeah. Oh, totally with that.
Yep.
That's just Marvel in general.
That's just awesome. Some J. Jonah Jameson have I ever heard it.
Right? But
And
it's definitely like shades of X-Men.
oh yeah, they're, you know, the DNA of old, you know, old Marvel is here. Is especially in the beginnings of the Transformers comic, they're here. I think once you get away from having, you know, so many human characters as it goes on, it starts to, you know, become its own thing. But it still has a lot of that DNA, I think.
You know, and I kind of love the, I guess, the reversal they did with the Skybound comics,
Oh
because in
yeah.
this one, you know, the Buster slash Spike character gets the Matrix, but in Skybound, Sparkplug becomes the Matrix.
Walks right into it.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I it's that's kind of
It's like they turn the trope on itself.
a yeah, and also they really make Carly more like Buster in the issues, rather than, you know, Spike is really not doing a whole lot, and Carly's
He's
all doing
chilling
all the
with
stuff.
Beachcomber.
Yeah, they're hanging out, you know, and probably like talking about how cool and groovy the water and the air is, and the rocks, and Carly's in some facility.
She's learning Krav Maga or something from RC.
No, she well, not right now. She's not. She's missing.
Oh,
Isn't she?
yeah. But I mean,
Yeah.
like, generally, that's what she's
Oh
out
yeah.
training with RC or something.
Yeah. RC's like, why do you start to smell? She's like, I've been wearing the same clothes for weeks. Oh, yeah. They all wear
I'm gonna
the
turn that sensor off.
same. So Buster's like leaving out of the room, and he's like, he talking about he's like, he wouldn't his dad wouldn't understand, and he'd also be horrified because he was instructed not to mess with the Autobots anymore, but he
Oh
did.
yeah.
And he looks at his broken Walkman and puts it all back together with his you know, concentric circles that come out of his head.
Right,
It
his
kind of looks
Matrix
like
powers.
It kind of looks like you know, when you see a relief in a Catholic church of Jesus, what has the
Oh,
halo
yeah, the
around.
halo.
It
Totally,
definitely looks
yeah.
like that.
The gilded halos, yeah.
Yeah, it looks a lot like that.
They always had those, like, I guess, were they lithographs or something? You
I
always see,
do.
like, in grandma's house, and, like, you'd
Yes.
walk in, and it would shine because it would have, like, the gold leaf on it.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah.
So we cut away to the military outside of the BlackRock Aerospace is simply plant number one in the suburbs of Portland. They actually, the vehicles look like almost like G.I. Joe vehicles. Like there's
Oh
the
yeah, those are absolutely like
yeah. They're like,
the
look,
Allstriker they call it.
yes, the All-Striker is the one that clued me in. Like, the rest of them are like a tank and a troop carrier, but that's definitely an All-Striker.
Oh, that looks almost like a Mauler right there next to it.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
But that's
Kind of small
definitely,
for a tank though.
yeah, that's true. What was that? The little tank had the four cannons on it that like one person manned. It's like they had the Cobra Fang or the Cobra, I can't remember what it was, the helicopter with one seat in it and it was open and you had to
Yeah,
like,
that was the Fang.
that was the thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like the G.I. Joe equivalent, which was the tank with like four little guns on it.
And the anti-aircraft guns for
Yeah, there'd be like
yeah.
one dude, racing it into a battlefield. All right, man, no. Why even have a tank if you can do that? Standing at like, it's like waist up, he's exposed. Yeah. The G.I. Joe was a fun set
Oh
of
yeah.
vehicles. Of course, no one died because he just jumped out. Thanks,
Well,
Buzz.
there's one guy who can get by any combat line. And
Oh.
G.I. Joe never tapped him, but they should have.
They really should have Mozzarella Mike.
Oh, Mozzarella Mike. See, that even sounds like a G.I. Joe name.
It sounds like, like a cover for like a Cobra agent. Like
Oh,
it's
yeah.
even Zartan in there.
That or I'm just imagining like Snake Eyes driving a pizza truck.
God, the thing with the G.I. Joe series, it would be Snake Eyes in like a chef's outfit and a chef's hat, but the mask.
The mask is still there with the visor.
Yep. Like, oh, go on, sir. You look like you're
Yeah.
a great chef. Come on in. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was imagining.
I love, honestly, there's so much to love about the G.I. Joe cartoon. I want to go back and watch the original, like basically the first season, the little miniseries, because they're just so good.
I think guys like Bazooka would like dress, Snake Eyes up like that. Like that was their gag. Like, oh yeah, here
Oh,
we'll help
man.
you get ready.
Alpine and Bazooka.
Yeah,
Oh
leave the
man, let's
mask
get you going.
on.
Like, I like you in a chef's hat. Yeah,
Then
Bazooka.
they'd slap a Chef Boyardee mustache on top of the visor just,
Little
for
curly
effect.
mustache.
Yeah.
Ah.
I got you. I knew I'd get you.
Yeah, I'm still getting over this horrible cold ad. So if I mute the mic, well, y'all see me muting it. I'm trying not to cough through the podcast.
He
But
doesn't need the Heimlich.
now this time, I got it going. The yeah, I love those old episodes and just the ridiculousness of those plots, but they're just really fun to watch. I
I would
mean,
say, yeah, it's just pure fun.
they're hilarious. They're great. Yeah, but well, as we know, the Skybound G.I. Joe books are brutal. So, just like with Transformers and the older Transformers stuff is a lot more fun, lighthearted. This is a little heavier, but not much.
Mozzarella Mike would not survive in Skybound.
No. Mozzarella Mike would have he would have been murdered and his van would have been turned into a new Decepticon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Starscream would have like spun him like a pizza or something until he came apart,
Oh my God.
He'd have been the tomato paste.
Oh, I got patchy dry. Oh, he got all wet again. Weird. Yeah, so
Gotta work the dough into a ball first.
I love it. These guys are all like, yeah, can you believe it? We've been out here for weeks trying to get in, someone in there. And this guy just drives right in. I mean, oh, then the one dude's like, hey, don't underestimate Mike's power. I've seen one of his pepperoni and onion pies wipe out a whole platoon. I don't know if he's talking about how good it is or how bad his cooking is. So.
Well, and we're getting to like the old like army comics too that you always had.
Oh,
So you
yeah.
got some of that working in here too. I mean, there's a little bit of everything in this issue.
There is. It reminds me what the movie Evolution. What was the Kane's the David Duchovny's character? He ended up poisoning like his whole like, troop
Yeah.
base as Kane's madness or something like that. That's I can imagine that's what Mozzarella Mike did to this platoon.
Oh, right.
They
But
couldn't get out of the head for a while.
It's just funny that somehow the Decepticons are calling this pizza
Monster, I would
guy.
like.
But I don't know if they've got like one of the humans assigned to that. Like, all right, you're assigned to, feeding your fellow carbon-based units.
Yep.
And that's all he, yeah, okay, that guy, that's the one you're doing. He's the only one allowed through.
So we get a nice little image though when he goes back to inside the plant. There are three Decepticons you see being worked on right here.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's really odd because this is not their origin.
No, it's not, but it is definitely Ramjet, Dirge, and Thrust in the foreground. Now there's other jets up there, but I wonder if they're just disassembling jets that they were there already and using the parts to build them, but it's not their origin, so.
That, or I mean, they look kind of aerobotish.
They kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that too. Dual
I mean,
engines
this would
though.
have been a really easy way to introduce all those jets at once.
Oh yeah, definitely that. But so
It shows that this was on the table, but as we'll see, the Coneheads have a different origin.
well, exactly. I almost wonder if they were trying to like figure out how they're going to bring the Coneheads into this. Like they were give little hints to like what it could be, because I could see the Dirge wings being on like a MiG or something, some sort of like some sort of jet that they were like playing with, or like a test jet. But
Yeah.
thrust, there's no way there are turbines on wings.
Yeah, the VTOL,
There's no
that's
way.
Cybertronian. That's alien.
That's 100%.
But
But
yeah, this I think Budiansky was always had to have something in his pocket
oh
for
yeah.
when Marvel came and said, "Hey, you need to dump all these characters in this next issue."
I'm sure they were getting models, or they were getting the toys of these things early, and like here, let's figure out how to draw these guys, get them in here. But I gotta say though, there's some interesting things going on in this panel. That is a really nice shockwave, at least from the back,
Yeah.
and with Laserbeak on his shoulder. I mean, the shading is so nice on that.
Oh yeah, the shading, the edges, like it's very sharp. He looked right at the toy.
Oh yeah, he did, and he drew the toy.
Yeah.
Even like the hinges under the butt, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I've got the toy right here looking at it, and yeah, that is
That's 100%.
exactly. He's got the fake screw on the back and
Yeah.
the same angle and everything, so
And also you see on the background there, that is definitely the Sunbow model of Jetfire.
yeah,
Or
but yeah,
so.
it Skyfire, Jetfire,
Yeah.
Fireball, whatever they wanted to call
Yeah,
him.
exactly. Is it Firebolt or Fireball?
Fireball was his first name.
That was the first one they were going with. That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, he looks straight up like a little coloring problems, but he looks straight up like the show model now.
He's got Yamtov's work on him, so.
Yeah, there we
And he's not
no.
finished, so I mean.
No. You try this issue, and I appreciate that about you. You did actually pretty good this issue. Not awful.
He had more time on this one.
Yeah, you must have had some time. You must have been coloring this where everyone is out Christmas shopping. You don't Christmas shop, do you? No. I'm talking to you straight up now. I know you watched the show. I've seen the analytics between you and I. No one else has a no. But good job. Anyways,
And
so
this is
yeah.
also the first time we see Jetfire in robot mode because he's been
It
in
is.
jet mode every time they showed him being worked on.
Yeah, it
So
is.
maybe
And
he is done at this point.
well, he is done, but he's not
Yeah.
done done.
He's
He's
not done,
not
done.
done cooking. He's done being put together.
He needs all the software updates.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is with this, the oh shoot. There's the whole thing where Shockwave's kind of gloating the fact that he's gotten the slaves to improved 18.7%. It was like, Smoking Booster plans, and he's at Laserbeak. He's talking to Laserbeak like almost like Megatron does in the Transformers the movie. He's like, he's got him up on his shoulder, squawking at him and stuff. But he kind of he sussed out what's going on with Prime. He's like, look, last time we ran a check on you, you have zero production for the Creation Matrix. Either you're doing a really good job suppressing it, but it should show up somehow. So, whatever you're doing, stop doing it because You're gonna die if you don't bring him to life. Once again, with the last issue, like you're only useful as long as you are doing something to aid me. So.
Right. And of course, Optimus is trolling him.
Oh yeah, what you call divine as failure. I call success Shockwave. But Shockwave does this crazy thing where he shoots like almost like a laser, this really cool looking laser thing out of his head to give Jetfire life. Well,
Yeah,
not life, make
the
power
pencil
him
and
up.
ink work in this issue was great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, God, Prowl looks fantastic. Blue Streak, when we come up to him, he's gonna look fantastic.
Even Yamtob's colors of that scene where the beam comes out of Shockwave's eye, he's got like
Oh
gradation
yeah.
in the purples and stuff,
Yeah,
so.
I mean that, yeah, there's like purples and the yellows and oranges and reds. It almost has this kind of tendrily look from the almost like there's a like a discharge, and like out of the discharge comes a strong beam from it.
Yeah.
Really cool.
It's like when you put your thumb on the water hose.
Yes, exactly that.
Yes. Just
Like
like
when the
that.
fire comes out of the fire out of the water hose, it looks just like that.
The fire. What kind of water you got there?
It's hard.
They've been fracking, haven't they?
Always, man. Fracker, it didn't happen. The so yeah, there's this energy to enters a Jetfire, but no life. And man, Shockwave is like, you dare deny me. He's mad. He's big mad at Optimus Prime right now. He's you need to figure out where your creation matrix is right now. Figure it out, or I'm gonna kill you.
To get an emotional response out of Shockwave like this means he's big mad.
You don't get an emotional response out of Shockwave. This is and we have that the big head Shockwave here also at the next panel.
Oh, totally, man. That's a massive. He's using his big brain power here.
Those see where he got all emotional, all the his brain has his head swelled up.
Yep.
But man, like, and Laserbeak looks just great up there. He was also looking right at the toy Laserbeak, like got the little design around its eyes and everything.
Yeah.
Really good. But so he stops. He's like, wait. Actually, you couldn't have erased it. You've been here the entire time. I don't know where you could have put it. So you must have hidden it, but where? And they're Prowl and Ratchet are like listening in, of course. And they're like, we got to do something now because this is going to get bad. And Ratchet's like, well, you're in charge, Prowl. What do we do, man? So we can't attack it because there's humans there. They could be hurt. It could be disastrous. But
If
we can
only one
only.
of us could transform into a pizza truck.
No, I'll go undercover with my disguise of a Fair Lady police car.
Right.
That'll. If only one of us was an ambulance and went in there if one of the slaves had a problem. Ratchet. But they
Right.
don't even remember
Well,
that.
I mean, his mode is closest to Mozzarella Mike's pizza
It really
delivery
is.
truck, so.
Yeah, it really is. They could just repaint it, put a like a temporary label on there.
Man,
But at
just
the end of
slap that
the
magnetic thing in the little light on top, and you're good.
day. Yeah. Man, and
It's a
they
pizza emergency. Turn on the light bar.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Woo, woo, woo. We got the high ones.
Could you imagine that with like Transformers Animated Ratchet?
I could totally see it.
Hating the job the whole way there.
I got hot pizza. But dude, and he calls this is Rumble. Calls
Yeah,
Rumble over.
remember toy colors.
Yes, I have to look at it like, wait, no, yet we're in the comic.
And
He's
you
like,
see why it's been such an issue, because it's confusing to go back and forth between the two.
it is, it really is.
That's why it persists to this day.
But though then again in the next page, when Shockwave just shoves his gun hand up the back of Rumble's head.
Yeah.
Rumble's blue here, by the way.
Yeah. Th this is
Anyway.
one of Yamtob's hurry pages.
Yep. But he does, he just goes whoop, puts his gun no lube or anything, just goes right in. Hey everybody, as much as I wanted to leave the episode really awkward abruptly where it was, I'm just gonna let you remind you all. Now these episodes are going to be, cut in half. So there's not, you don't have an hour and 40-minute episode to watch. So we cut here in the 45-minute mark, and it was honestly the funniest, weirdest, most awkward way I could end it. So we will be back next week with the second half of this episode, and keep that in mind where we left off with a gun shoved right up Rumble's head. And thanks for being here, everybody. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye now. More Than Meets These Guys, a Transformers podcast, is performed by Evan Johns, Boo of the Excellent Underground.com, and Ed Strickland. Research is done by Evan Johns, Boo of the Excellent Underground.com, and Ed Strickland. Special thanks to Hasbro, Marvel, Skybound, and the occasional extra property, which we will name at whatever time is appropriate for that episode. And without all of you, this is really not even possible. So thanks for being here, and thanks for checking us out every week. Goodbye.